versus Rosenfeld. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is John Kinney, and I'm here on behalf of Sage Rosenfeld, the appellant and plaintiff, in a case arising out of the District Court of Douglas County, Nebraska. Your Honor, this is a case that has some unusual facts in terms of the trial court's decision to dismiss Mr. Rosenfeld's complaint to modify after he concluded his evidence. Your Honor, paragraph 10 of the counterclaim of the appellee states very clearly, since the entry of the decree, which was a decree entered 5 years before the matter was brought before the District Court, and that's important as we consider children's evolving needs. Since the entry of the decree, a substantial and material change of circumstances occurred which warranted modification of the decree. That was the appellee's position for months and months leading up to the trial.
But didn't that just relate to a couple of provisions of the parenting plan, the right, I don't know if it was the right of first refusal or the vacation and holiday provisions?
Well, Your Honor, I would point out that paragraph 10 starkly states that there's a substantial material change in circumstances, period, paragraph. Now, I understand that later on in the pleading, there's a reference made to vacation and holiday. Mm-hmm. However, I would point out to the court that in the wherefore clause, the appellee requests that plaintiff participate in counseling to improve his relationship with the children. If you look at the pleading as a whole, there is a suggestion of parental conflict. There is a suggestion that the needs of the children are evolving and that an order of modification is necessary.
Not with respect to the parenting time provisions.
Clearly, Your Honor, the position of the appellee was that the weekday parenting time provisions of Monday and Tuesday with one parent and Wednesday and Thursday with the other parent, clearly the appellee was happy with that. She stated that she didn't want to change that. Mm-hmm. She didn't even want to move the days around.
And that was really the primary focus at trial, wasn't it? Your client's desire to go week on, week off.
Yes, Your Honor, but what I would point out to the court is that when you have a situation where both litigants have agreed to the notion that a substantial material change in circumstances has taken place, I'm prepared for the question, counsel, how would you have tried the case differently? Well, when both parties have agreed that there's a substantial material change in circumstances, period, paragraph, you don't necessarily put on the muck and the mire of parental conflict in the same way that you would.
Did you call the appellee in your case in chief as a witness?
I don't believe that that I did, and Your Honor, again, had I known at the time that I was putting on my case that there would be a withdrawal of the judicial admission that a substantial material change in circumstances had taken place, I would have put on different evidence. I would have put on more evidence of parental conflict. I would have perhaps called the appellee as a witness.
You did call the appellee.
Okay. I apologize now that you mentioned that, but if I remember correctly, it was about 10 minutes of testimony. It was not substantial.
But there were questions about the communication between the parties that you asked of her, right?
You're right, Your Honor. My questioning was with respect to, do you agree that there's been parental conflict? I don't remember all of my questions, but frankly, now that you point me in that direction, I think in my brief I pointed out that there was an admission that there was substantial parental conflict. There was also this wherefore clause that suggested that my client's relationship with the children was not good. And so I believe that when both parties have pled a substantial material change in circumstances, dismissing at halftime when there's this notion, gee whiz, I'm gonna alter my pleading right now.
As I look at her pleading, in her answer, she admitted that portion of your paragraph that alleged a material change of circumstances, but she denied the balance of your paragraph that set forth what those changes in circumstances were. And so you knew, even with her answer, that you still had to prove that changing the parenting time, that was required by the material change in circumstances and was in the best interest of the children.
Understood, Your Honor, but I think that the evidence that we put on with respect to the parental conflict, with the notion of a parent, a happier parent is a better parent. I don't think that we should have been put in a position where we had to prove that the existing schedule was harmful to the minor children. I believe, Your Honors, that there should be a consideration that ongoing and pervasive parental inflexibility and intransigence in light of a children's developing needs should be a substantial material change in circumstances. And what you see in the record is that there is evidence that in order for my client to develop a career, even moving his parenting time to Mondays and Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays and Thursdays would have benefited him. The response of his ex-wife was, absolutely not, no changes to the schedule. And that intransigence and inflexibility in light of a five-year developing home life for these folks, I think that that's a substantial material change. I also think that Mr. Benning's testimony to the effect that if my client ever wanted a career in media, that a week-on, week-off schedule, if we have to, again, we were dismissed at halftime. We have to assume all of that evidence is true. We have to assume that my client could never really develop a career in the media without a different schedule.
How is your client's position in the best interest of the children? I understand his position with regard to him wanting to pursue a different career and the like, but how is it in the best interest of the children?
Well, Your Honor, I would say this. My client wanted to have a good relationship with the children. A happy parent is a better parent. I think the question is that there's no proof that the children were suffering, doing poorly in school. There's no proof that the children did not have plenty of social engagements. I understand that that's the criticism of my client's case. But what I think the court is not seeing is that even if we kept the exact same schedule but just changed the days from Monday and Tuesday with one parent to a different parent, how could that possibly have hurt the children? They were spending 2 days with one parent or the other during the week. And so you see that inflexibility, that intransigence. When there's pleadings that say, and that where there's an agreement that there's a substantial material change in circumstances, you're, as a litigant, you change focus. You change focus to what is the best parenting plan that fits the evolving needs of the parents and the children.
How do you reconcile 25601, which allows a plaintiff to dismiss their case at any time prior to submission with the court? Is it your position that that does not also apply to a counterclaimant?
Your Honor, I guess what I would say, and I don't want to deflect from your question, but what I would say is that when you try the case as a litigant and you're the moving party, you filed your complaint to modify first, and there in the pleadings there's an agreement that a substantial and material change of circumstances exists related to parenting. I realize we could parse out holidays and sick time and the right of first refusal. And again, I would point out that counsel didn't think my client's relationship with the children was very good, so she wanted therapy. That all suggests that what we're talking about at trial is how are we going to change this parenting plan to address the developing needs of the parents.
But she didn't agree with the change in parenting time. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And had the case been tried and both sides allowed to present their evidence, and we had come to a final conclusion, and the court simply said, Mr. Rosenfels, I'm going to make these changes to the decree, but I'm not going to make your week-on, week-off changes. I think the decision of the court would have been much easier to understand. We were surprised to learn that the change in tactics took place. There was the suggestion throughout this case, and it might not all be in the record, that this was a case of a lot of venomous communication between the parties and very difficult parenting relationship. When there's pleadings that suggest that both parties agree that a change in circumstances has taken place, you don't necessarily get into the venom and all of that. And so I would say that the motion to dismiss is the problem here, in that we were not, the change in taxes is, oh, we're getting along fine. Okay, that hasn't been your position throughout this litigation, and suddenly the pleadings change, and suddenly we get dismissed at halftime. Quite surprising. Thank you, Your Honor.
You're out of time, counsel. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Tony Likas, and I am here representing the appellee, Mrs. Gailey, today. I think that Judge Pankinen issued a well-thought-out, well-reasoned order. I think the record shows there's plenty of evidence how maybe changing this schedule could possibly help Mr. Rosenfels. I don't see anything in this record that says changing the schedule one bit would benefit the kids. I mean, we have three kids in this case. They're all doing well in school. They're all actively involved in extracurricular activities. I don't think you'll see any evidence that doing anything to this schedule, changing it, would be beneficial to it. No evidence that what they're doing now is harmful, and I don't understand why we would want to have a successful schedule where these kids are flourishing and change it just because it's what Mr. Rosenfels wants. And he wants that because maybe he can further his career.
And I take it the furthering of the career wasn't as necessary to receive income as it was just for his own well-being? Is that
you're 100% accurate. There's no evidence that these kids are not being provided for financially in any respect. Both parties testified that there's no need for them to work, that through Mr. Rosenfels' NFL career, enough money was made, it was divided in their divorce, and they're both set.
Yeah.
And
Well, let's talk about the procedure of the granting of the directed verdict and the dismissal of your client's counterclaim.
Okay. And I believe the case law shows it's in both parties' briefs. She could have dismissed it at any time. She could have gone forward, put on her case, and dismissed as soon as she finished that. I'm a little confused by the argument that somehow Mr. Rosenfels was prejudiced by my client dismissing her claim. I can't imagine what evidence she would put on to show that the schedule that he wants.
Well, was he right to rely on your pleading that was still in effect at the time the trial started, that it appeared that you were agreeing, or that your client was agreeing, that there had been a material change in circumstances? So therefore, his focus of his evidence was going to go to best interests.
Well, I think he's well aware of the law that she could dismiss it at any time. So, I mean, that's always going to be a possibility if you go forward on a case and there's a counterclaim. We can't force them to go forward on it if they choose not to. So,
could the court have, in its discretion, denied your motion and allowed the case to proceed?
They could, and you know, I hate to speculate. What would the change have been? Then we put our case on. I don't see how any evidence would
have been
favorable.
Well, she would have been
subject to
further cross-examination by him about the pleading, and was it true that she was agreeing that there was a material change in circumstance?
That's true, but there, in terms of any agreement about a material change in circumstances, it was simply that at the time she filed that, she believed there was a material change in circumstances. She wasn't agreeing that we need to change the schedule as he's asking for. Her request to changes were pretty minor, excuse me, in terms of vacation time and right of first refusal. So, I mean, apples and oranges there on what each one of them was alleging.
But didn't the court make a finding based on the dismissal of the counterclaim that the appellant had failed to meet his burden of proof on the material change in circumstances?
He had, and I think the record's very clear that he woefully failed to, or he greatly failed to meet that burden. Just
and isn't the second part of that material change in circumstances, it goes on to say it has to be a material change in circumstances affecting the best interests of the children.
Absolutely.
And that so even if you say, well, there's been a material change in circumstance, but is the one alleged by either party, does it affect the best interests of the children?
You're exactly right on that. And I think that's where we're missing the evidence on showing that something needs to be changed in terms of these kids who are, by all accounts, Mr. Rosenfeld's accounts, Mrs. Gailey's accounts, doing very well. And and I think the bottom line is the only evidence about how the schedule was inconvenient to anybody was about Mr. Rosenfeld's. And that's not where the standard lies. It's about his kids. There's three kids here.
Well, isn't his argument, though, beyond what he would like to do with his career, isn't his argument also, though, that because of the parental conflict, that limiting the exchanges and the contact between the parties would be beneficial to the children?
I understand he's arguing that. What I would argue is, at trial, no evidence was produced that showed any conflict between them, Mr. Rosenfeld and Mrs. Gailey, had any effect on the kids. You didn't have expert testimony from a psychologist or anybody that's seeing something these parents are doing is causing these kids to struggle. It just wasn't there.
Any evidence about the exchanges of the children when they would occur on, I believe it was Wednesdays and Fridays and Mondays?
My recollection is there was not evidence about conflict during exchanges. It was communications between Mr. Rosenfels and Mrs. Gailey that the kids never see. So if they're arguing about he wants to take a trip out of town or whatever and wants some makeup time and she says no, it's email communications or text messages between the two parties, not the kids. And if there's nothing else, I would submit on that. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. I believe you're out of time. So your case is submitted and you are excused. Thank you for appearing today.